oss, Angel Tchaikovsky. Han på turné I USA, og han som har dere hørt, Connie Witter. Og så hadde jeg hørt det navnet for Hullo og flere her I noen husmenighetene våre. De leser boka di. The struggle is over. We have the mind of Christ. Og den har liksom blitt litt sånn populær iblant visse av våre medlemmer. Og når vi da hørte at du skulle til Norge, så var det litt sånn gudfeldig, synes jeg. Gudfeldig, ikke tilfeldig. Så, Connie, it's a privilege to welcome you. Come and speak to us and take your time. Give her a big hand. Please, please.
Okay, now you can hear me. Wow, y'all are so beautiful. I am absolutely amazed that I'm standing on this stage today. This was not my plan. And Jesus just opened this door. I am just so honored to be here. Thank you, Pastor Larch, for inviting me, for reaching out to me. I came here to help my daughter and her and my son-in-law with my grandbaby. He's 5 months old, and she came here for an internship for a Montessori school in Norway. And I just thought I was going to come and be with my little grandbaby and my wonderful husband here. Stand up. I know you've already stood up, but stand up again. Tony. We were just going to come here and help with the baby. And I was like, wow, Lord, you opened this door for me to talk about Jesus. I love talking about Jesus. And I've already been blessed by being here. That's just amazing, just what I've already heard. I loved your testimony. So beautiful. Goes right along with what I feel, you know, the Lord's going to have me speak today. Because the title of my message is A New Covenant Believer is a Wide Receiver. A New Covenant Believer is a Wide Receiver. Because Jesus and the Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father is the giver of life, the giver of righteousness, the giver of love. And all that he wants from us, what a good, good father, is to receive all that he's given in Christ Jesus. When we learn that, I know for me, you know, I grew up in church. I grew up in church. I was probably around 24, 25 years old when I came into the understanding of the grace of God. You know, I just thought I needed to believe in Jesus so I could get to heaven. And so I worked my whole life to try to be good enough so I could get to heaven. I did not understand the love of God. I didn't even understand the gospel. Because the scriptures tell us that we are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to all those who believe. This good news tells us how we've been made righteous in his sight by faith. For the righteous shall live by faith. This good news tells us how we've been made righteous in his sight. See, I didn't know that I'd been made righteous. I was trying to be righteous. But Jesus had given it to me as a free gift. And so I want to share with you, before I just preach my whole message and don't even open my notes, some wonderful scriptures that I want to share with you. Jesus, again, Jesus is the giver, and we are the receivers. We were created to receive his love. God is love. It's the definition of God. God is perfect love. It's the definition of God. Isn't that amazing? And, you know, I always heard of this God who was angry and mad and had to, you know, you had to live up to something or he was going to punish you and you had to qualify for his blessings. And that's the picture I had of God. That is not the picture of love. You know, I had four children. All four of my children now are married. So now I have eight children. I'm getting ready to have my eighth grandbaby. Eight children and eight grandchildren. I did not have my children so that they would love me. I had my children so I could pour my love on them. And as I poured my love on my children, guess what happened? They loved me back. And that is God's creation. It's his plan. He wanted a family. He wanted children. Jesus wanted a bride. For what reason? To pour who they are, perfect love, into us. Wow. And in return, we would love them back. We love him because he first loved us. Isn't that beautiful? So I want to start with Ephesians 1, 3 through 6. But before I do that, oh my goodness. I was sitting there in the chair, and I was thinking about, you know, when I get up here to share, to introduce myself, I'm not real good at, you know, I'm Connie Witter, I'm from Because of Jesus Ministries, I've written all these books. I'm not real good at any of that. I just want to get up here and talk about Jesus. So I was sitting down there, I was like, Lord, is there anything you want me to share? There's so much. It just feels like so much I could say, you know, like I've traveled all over the world and all that stuff. And, you know, but what do you want me to say, Lord? And the Lord said this to me. He said, I'm going to make it real easy for you, Connie. I said, okay, good Lord. And he said, just tell them about your BOJM app. And so I'm going to tell you about it. All you have to do is go to your app store and type in Connie Witter and download that app. And every Bible study I've ever taught is on that app. And you can listen to Bible studies on the Gospel of John, Romans, Hebrews, James, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. I mean, I went through the whole Bible, verse by verse by verse, in the light of Jesus. So if you want to be encouraged every day, you can just download that app, pick a book of the Bible you want to go through, click on it, and just let Jesus fill your soul with his love. Because what you're going to hear on that app is who you are in Christ, how much you're loved, the grace of God, the promises that you have in Jesus, and all you have to do is wide receive what the Father has freely given. Thank you, Jesus. Is anybody else excited about that?
Yes.
All right, so I did that. Now, back to my scripture. Ephesians 1, 3 through 6. How blessed is God, and what a blessing he is. He's the Father of our Master, Jesus Christ, and takes us to the high places of blessing in him. Long before he laid down earth's foundations, he had us in mind, had settled on us as the focus of his love, to be made whole and holy by his love. Long, long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ. What pleasure he took in planning this. He wanted us to enter into the celebration of his lavish gift-giving by the hand of his beloved Son. Is that the most beautiful thing you ever read? You were created to be the focus of God's love. His plan all along was for you to be his child and for you to enter in to the celebration of his lavish gift giving by the hand of his beloved son. That was his plan all along. It wasn't for you to do all these things for him and be a good servant. That wasn't his plan. His plan was for you to be his child. His plan for you was to be Jesus' bride. His plan for you was to be a container, a vessel of honor that he would fill to overflow with his love. Thank you, Jesus. Woo, glory to God. I got some woo-hoos inside me. I don't know if any of you listened to me, but woo-hoo is my... My thing is like when I feel the Holy Spirit coming over me and I feel, because you know when I'm up here talking, I'm receiving as I'm talking. It's like when I hear myself sharing the good news of God's love and grace, it just fills me up to overflow. And I hear, woohoo, comes out. But I am so excited about teaching you and telling you about how the Father wants you to enter in to the celebration of his lavish gift giving because of Jesus, by what Jesus has done for you. He wants every day of your life to be a celebration, that you are loved, that you are righteous, that you are accepted, that you are approved, that you are blessed, that you are favored because of Jesus. You are healed. You are prosperous. His plan is to prosper you and to give you hope and a future. That is a promise of God. That's his gift to you. Something you have to do nothing to earn. Just receive. It's all for whosoever will receive. Romans 5:17 says, those who receive his abundance of grace and his free gift of righteousness will reign in life through Jesus Christ. Did you hear that word receive? Those who receive. Is that up there? Awesome. Romans 5:17 and 18. There you go. Okay, I'm going to read this. For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one, much more surely will those who receive, I just want you to focus on that word, those who what?
Receive.
Those who what?
Receive.
Those who receive. God's overflowing grace, unmerited favor, and the free gift of righteousness reign as kings in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Well then, as one man's trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one man's act of righteousness leads to acquittal and right standing with God and life for all men. Wow. You know what I see in the scripture? That word receive. It says that condemnation came to all men. There was not one man that condemnation did not come to. And you know, the way that I understand condemnation the easiest, or the way I can know that condemnation is trying to come at me, is an accusing voice. A negative thought that comes at my mind, in my heart, that tells me, it's not going to work out for you, Connie. You're not good enough, Connie. You lack in some way, Connie. They're not even going to understand what you're saying up there, Connie. You know, those are condemning, accusing thoughts that come at us, come at everybody. So we look at condemnation as the disease of mankind, but Jesus was the cure. And he gave us his gift of righteousness to cure all condemnation so that we could live free from the accusing voices, from the negative thoughts, from the times that we hear you lack. No, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, right? you know, like coming up here to preach, coming up here to teach, you know, a thought might come to me, you know, what if they don't understand what you're saying? And I say, no, I am. This is what I did right before I even got here today. This is just a perfect example of an accusing voice. Condemnation tries to come to all men. And we recognize that voice. We recognize that condemnation by the negative feeling that it comes with. That's how you can always know if the enemy or someone else is trying to put condemnation on you or yourself, self-condemnation, right? Is how does it make your heart feel? Is your heart feeling negative, like discouraged or sad or depressed or worried or anxious or angry or offended? You know, all of those negative emotions come from condemnation. And Jesus is the cure. By giving us the gift of righteousness, we can say, no, I'm not receiving that. I'm not a receiver of condemnation. I enter into the celebration of receiving the gift of righteousness by the hand of the Son of God because of Jesus. And so, just a perfect example, it happened to me just now. Yesterday, I was just thinking about coming here and preaching, and this negative thought came to me. You don't know how to speak their language. What if they don't understand what you're saying? What if you say something that offends them? Okay? You hear them all coming? Yeah. And you know what I did? First of all, you can feel. It's like, I guess if I can leave here with leaving you with one thing, is to recognize and be aware when condemnation is coming because Jesus gave you the gift of righteousness so that you could reign over condemnation. So that condemnation no longer has any power in your life. So that you don't have to live under the heavy cloud of negative thoughts and negative, you know, feelings. You don't have, that is not God's plan for you. It's not the reason why Jesus came is to give us his life. And his life is a life of joy. A life of peace, a life of love, a life of health and healing. His life is a life of approval and acceptance. His life is a life of fullness till we overflow. Yes. And so when those thoughts came to me, I said, no, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Father, I thank you that you have qualified and anointed me to preach this gospel and set the captives free. I thank you, Father, that that's what you say about me and that's what I receive. I enter into the celebration of your lavish gift giving by the hand of your beloved Son. And you know what? Any negative feeling that I was feeling, whoo, gone. All of a sudden, I was like, woohoo! We're going to go and preach this good news. And that's how you reign in life. That's how you reign in life. When you hear the negative things coming at you, the negative thoughts, we all have it coming. Condemnation has come to all men. But all who receive the gift of God's overflowing grace and his free gift of righteousness will reign over all condemnation. Yeah. Actually, the word reign actually means to walk in authority. So what happens is you when you say no, it's lost its power right there. No, that's not what's true about me. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. You see, that's authority. That's speaking with authority. Why? Because it's what the Father says. That's how Jesus lived. He said, I only say what I hear my Father say. What comes out of this lips is only what I hear my Father say. So for me, I walk around saying, Father, what do you say? You know, even when I was saying no to that and talking to the Father about this meeting right here, what do you say, Father? What do you say about me? Isn't that good? Yes. All who receive His overflowing grace and free gift of righteousness will reign in life through Jesus Christ. In any situation, and this is the truth, in any situation we find ourselves in, it has to do with our marriage or our children or our finances or our health, a relationship, we are either receiving condemnation or we're receiving the gift of righteousness. In every situation. See, if I would have taken on, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't even know why I'm going over there to speak. They probably won't understand. If I would have took on and received those negative thoughts and that accusing voice that was coming at me, if I would have taken that on and received it, I would have been up here feeling anxious and unsure and insecure. True? That's what would have happened. Do you feel any insecurity or unsureness? No, I don't feel it. Because I've come up here with two things in mind. I'm qualified and anointing to preach this gospel. And I have the Father's full approval. So nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. I've come to preach the good news of the gospel. And I don't have to worry about what anybody thinks of me. Because I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And I have my Father's full approval. And it brings you perfect and constant peace when you receive His overflowing grace and His free gift of righteousness. Now I want to talk about that word receive real quick. It comes from the Greek word lambano. And it means to make one's own. So when you receive God's grace, when you receive the gift of righteousness, you make it your own. It means to take possession of, to seize, to appropriate to oneself. It means to lay hold of it and not let it go. It means to receive what God has offered and not refuse or reject it. See, I remember when I was first learning this word lambano, it has just exploded in me. Right now, there's a series that me and my friend Gwen Myrie, or McLeod, she got married, are teaching on the app called this, A New Covenant Believer is a Wide Receiver. 8 weeks of receiving and entering into the celebration of God's lavish gift giving. And I remember when we first began to understand that God created us to be receivers. And that word lambano. And I was like, Lord, show me what that really means. Like, what does it mean to lambano something? You know? Because, you know, when you take the word, the English word receive from the Greek word lambano, sometimes there's a, maybe not a complete full translation of that word, if that makes sense. So I was asking the Father, Father, give me a deeper revelation of what it means to lambano. And He gave me this illustration of a gift card. He said to me, he said, Connie, the gift of righteousness is like a gift card. When somebody gives you a gift card, you receive that gift card, right? You receive it. They've paid for it. You didn't pay for it. The other person paid for it. You receive the gift card. Yes, Lord, I understand that. He says, but how many gift cards do you have in your drawer or in your purse that you haven't used? And I was like, oh, dear Lord. He said, lambano is when you take that gift card and you take it to the store and you buy something with it. You receive something, you know what I'm saying? You put it on. Let's say you're getting an outfit and you put that outfit on. You have lambanoed that gift that somebody gave you. So, for example, Jesus has given you all, when you put your faith in Christ, He gave you the gift of righteousness. You have it. You all have had it. You've all received it. You understand what I'm saying? But lambanoing it is taking it on. It's saying, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am loved by my Father. I am accepted and approved. It's wearing it because of Jesus. Woo! Glory to God. It was so interesting because when the Lord showed me that, I went out to my car and I was cleaning out, you know, a side pocket. I pulled out a birthday card from 2 years ago, and it had a $50 Target gift card in it. 2 years ago. And the Lord said to me again, Connie, did you receive that gift? I said, yeah, I did, Lord. He goes, did you Lambano it? I said, no, Lord, I did not. Woo! So guess what I did with that gift card? I ran right down to the store, bought me an outfit, put it on. I said, I'm Lambanoed it now, Lord. I made it my own. And that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to take ownership of the gift of righteousness. He wants us to take ownership of approval. I am approved. He wants us to take ownership of favor. I am favored. He wants us to take ownership of his love. I am loved. Wow, glory to God. Y'all receiving something good? Yes. Lambano, his grace. You know, I just. Lambano, God's overflowing grace. I love the grace of God, don't you? There's many definitions, many teachings on what grace is. And when you look up the Strong's Concordance of grace, this is what it says. Especially. You know what it means when especially means? It means this is the top definition. Especially the divine influence of God upon your heart and its reflection in your life. Grace is the divine influence of perfect love. Who is God? Perfect love. Grace is the divine influence of perfect love upon your heart and its reflection in your life. I love how the Amplified Bible describes grace in 2 Corinthians 1:12. It says, the grace of God is the divine influence of the Holy Spirit upon souls that turns them to Jesus and strengthens and increases them in Christian virtues. Grace is the power of God. It's the power of the Holy Spirit given to us freely, with no merit of our own, the power of God to bear the fruit of righteousness in our lives. Christian virtues are love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, right? Right? That's not something that we work up. It's not something that we try to do. It is a work of the Holy Spirit as we receive his love. As we allow the Holy Spirit to influence our heart and pour his love in us, and we just receive that love, then the fruit of the Spirit starts to flow out of us. For what we receive is always what will flow out. Grace, grace is the divine influence of perfect love on your heart. When you are afraid, when you are anxious, when you feel condemned, when you hear the accusing voices, when you negative thoughts coming at your head, and you feel sadness or discouragement or resentment or anger rising up inside of you, what does the Father want you to do? Run to the throne of grace. Yes. This is what it says in Romans 4:14-16. So then, we must cling in faith to all we know to be true. For we have a magnificent King Priest, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. who rose into the heavenly realm for us and now sympathizes with us in our frailty. He understands humanity, for as a man, our magnificent King Priest was tempted in every way just as we are and conquered sin. So now we come freely and boldly to where love is enthroned. Isn't that beautiful? To receive Lambano, mercy's kiss, and discover the grace we urgently need to strengthen us in our time of weakness. I have a sweet friend who messaged me today, actually, and she said to me, she said, "I'm really struggling, Connie, with some negative emotions. I'm ashamed to say," this is what she said, "I'm ashamed to say that I'm really struggling today with some negative emotions. Will you pray for me?" And I responded to her and I said, "There's no shame in having negative emotions. It just shows us our need for God's grace, for Jesus. That's all. So when you feel that, there's no shame in that. He's there to lift that off of you. Don't you love him? He loves us so much that Jesus came to lift that fear off of you, to lift that shame off of you, to take that guilt away from you, to take that anxiety and that stress off of you. Cast your cares upon me, because I care about you. That's what Jesus said. Look at the birds of the air. They neither toil nor they don't sow, they don't reap, and yet your heavenly Father takes care of them. How much more valuable are you than they?" See, he's always wanting to lift the fear off. He's never wanting to shame you or condemn you for having the fear. He's wanting to love you out of it.
Come on, that's so good.
Woo! Glory to God. So the throne of grace is where we come to when we feel weak. When we feel like we're not, you know, sometimes like, "I know I'm not trusting God. I know I'm not believing God. My faith is not good. It's not like theirs, you know." You know, has anybody ever got like that? You know, or I don't even feel like I can believe right now. Well, that's okay. Go to the throne of grace and open up your arms wide and receive. "Father, I know you love me. Help me, Jesus." My two favorite prayers in all the world. "Help me, Jesus," and "Thank you, Jesus." I mean, they are powerful prayers. If you can't think of anything else, how do you get to the throne of grace? "Help me, Jesus." They're there. There you are. "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I receive your strength right now." You know, one of the things that I have learned about faith that I just absolutely love is that I live by the faith of Jesus. That I don't have to depend on my own faith. That I can look to him and say, "Jesus, I'm living off of your faith." Yeah? When I feel weak in faith, you make me strong. So whose faith is it? It's his. Whose peace is it? It's his. Whose joy is it? It's his, and he has given it to us. And so we live by his faith. I said, "Lord, thank you for strengthening me and helping me, empower me to trust you, to believe what you say." How many times have I run to the throne of grace to receive his mercy's kiss and his grace to help me in my time of need, and felt his power, felt him strengthen me, going from a feeling of discouragement to feeling like I could conquer the world. Amen. You know, that's what it means to reign in life. You run to the throne of grace. You receive his strength. He empowers you, and you feel like you're invincible. Yeah. Right? Praise you, Jesus. Father, what do you say? I love to say that when I come to the throne of grace. You know, I might be feeling negative. You know, I've had a lot of thoughts coming at me. I come to the throne of grace and say, "Father, what do you say about this?" I remember a couple years ago when we went through the pandemic. I remember it so clearly. We were in Branson. It was right at the beginning of it. And all these things were happening, you know, and all these fearful things on the news. I mean, fear was everywhere, right? Y'all know, right? You were with me, weren't you? We were all going through this together, weren't we? And I remember going to the throne of grace, and I said, Father, you know, I'm tempted to be worried and concerned about this. What do you say? What do you say about what's happening in our world? Because I could see a lot of bad things, evil things, corrupt things. You know, it's just, it was making me feel, well, worried. Yeah. So, Father, what do you say? Help me today. And the Holy Spirit just spoke to me. And this is another way that the Holy Spirit empowers us with his grace, is he reminds us of who we are. He reminds us of who he is. He reminds us of his promise to us. And I remember him saying to me, just reminding me, first of all, he took me to Chronicles, King Jehoshaphat's story. I mean, it was so powerful that morning. I was laying in my bed, and the Holy Spirit was just showing me how the enemy was coming in for the kill. And all he instructed King Jehoshaphat to do was, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Praise you, Lord. I receive your faithfulness to me. I mean, that's all they had to do, is just open up their arms and receive what the Father said. And what did it say? It said the enemy turned on themselves and were slaughtered. And then what happened? God's people took away all the spoils. Okay. He first showed me that. The second thing he showed me was in Isaiah 61 and 11, and it says this, as the seed goes into the ground and brings forth fruit. Can you see the seed when it's in the ground? No, you can't. As the seed goes into the ground and then it brings forth fruit, so surely the Lord God will cause righteousness, justice, and praise to spring forth before all the nations through the self-fulfilling power of his word. Now, let me ask you something. I had a choice when he shared that with me. I could lambano that, receive it, and think, oh my goodness, something exciting is about to happen. Even though all I could see was bad, right? Oh my goodness, Lord, you are going to cause righteousness, justice, and praise to spring forth before the whole nation, before all the nations, through the self-fulfilling power. I entered into the celebration of his lavish gift giving, which was a promise, his perspective, the mind of Christ on the situation. Because Jesus is not fearful about it. He's not anxious about it. He's not worried about it. He's not shaking in his boots about it. He already won. In this world, you will have trials, tribulations, distress, and frustration, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of all power to harm you. Now you lambano that and you're going to be happy. You're going to be excited. You're going to walk around reigning in this world. Woohoo! Thank you for that woohoo. Because that's the truth. And we do have a choice. God says, I set before you life and death. Oh, that you would choose life, that you and your children might live. And what does that mean? Receive what he says about you in Christ Jesus. Receive his grace and his gift of righteousness. Amen. How much time do I have? Oh, come on. What time did I start? I'm sorry. 35 minutes? How much time? I have 15 minutes? 10 minutes? Okay. All right. Oh, Jesus, help me. Okay. So, lambano, God's overflowing grace and his free gift of righteousness. So what is righteousness? Righteousness is being free. This is what righteousness means. Free from all guilt and shame. Innocent. Without fault. Holy. Justified and qualified for every blessing of God. That's what it means to be made righteous. Let me read it again. Free from all guilt and shame. Free from all condemnation. Free from the accusing voices. Free from the negative thoughts. Praise you, Jesus, right? Free from all guilt and shame. Innocent. Now, we all know that we have done things wrong, all of us, right? We all know we have done things, that there has been some faults, right? We all know that. But the gift of righteousness is for God, our Father, to look at us in the middle of our mistakes, our faults, our failures, and say, I see no fault in you. You're innocent because of Jesus. Not because of what you've done, but because of Jesus. The gift of righteousness is the proof of the Father's love. Now listen to the scripture. Romans 5, 8 through 9. But Christ proved God's passionate love for us by dying in our place, while we were still lost and ungodly. And there is still much more to say of his unfailing love for us. For through the blood of Jesus, we have heard the powerful declaration, you are now righteous in my sight. Did you hear that? There is still, Christ proved God's passionate love for you by sending Jesus to die away all your sin and rise again to make you righteous, innocent, without. Free from all guilt and shame, to live free from all condemnation. Oh my goodness. To be without fault and holy and justified in the Father's eyes as a free gift. I love to think that the Father has proven his love, not by the things that happen in the world. He's proven his love by giving us and making us righteous, innocent and holy and justified and qualified in his sight. And so how do we know God loves us? Because he made us righteous because of Jesus. Why did he make us righteous in Christ Jesus? Because he loves us. So I'm going to ask you again. How do you know the Father loves you? He made you righteous in Christ Jesus. And why did he make you righteous in Christ Jesus? Because he loves you. See, receiving the gift of righteousness is receiving the Father's love. You've been made innocent and qualified. I tell you, for me, again, growing up in church, I was always trying to qualify myself. And I was always seeing where I fell short. When I came into the understanding of what righteousness is and that free gift that the Father had given me, I entered into rest. There was nothing more for me to do. I was resting in the finished work of Jesus and what he had done for me. A new covenant believer is a wide receiver. And I remember the Father saying to me one day when I was down in my darkest moment, I felt like my life was just a big mess. I'd been a Christian for 20 plus years. I didn't feel any more peace or joy or love than my neighbor who didn't know Jesus. I was like, Father, what is up? Show me the truth that will set me free because I don't feel free. And I remember the Holy Spirit in my living room. I was 24 years old. I remember the Holy Spirit taking me on a journey through the scriptures and showing me, Connie, you are righteous and qualified because of Jesus. You're not righteous and qualified because of what you do. You're righteous and qualified because of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit began to teach me that all I had to do was receive that. Believe that. I had that choice. I could push it away and say, there's no way. There's no way I could be innocent. There's no way I could be without fault. There's no way. Haven't you seen all the things I've done wrong? Or I could lambano. I could receive and say, Father, how you must love me. How you must love me. There ain't nobody gonna love you like Jesus. Ain't nobody gonna love you like Jesus. Everybody in your life will find a fault with you at some point. But Jesus says, I will remember your sins no more. Before the foundation of the world, Ephesians 1:4 says, I chose you and loved you in Christ to be holy and without fault in my sight. How I missed that for 20 years, I have no idea. The only thing I came to, excuse me, is that no, no, and no. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Love you, Jesus. The Holy Spirit said to me, Connie, if you will just receive what I see when I look at you because of Jesus, if you'll just receive that, I will bring forth the fruit in your life. And I stand up before you today to say, Jesus is faithful. The Holy Spirit is powerful. He will bring forth all the promises of God in your life. And all you have to do is receive. How do you receive? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for making me righteous. Thank you, Jesus, that my children are mighty and blessed upon this earth. These are His promises. All the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Yes and amen. Not because of what you've done, but because of the Son. Because of Jesus, we've been given the gift of righteousness. Thank you, Father. All right, let's see, what time is it? All right, I'm bringing it in for landing. Are we ready? Thank you, Father. Oh, my goodness. I always have way too many scriptures. All right, we're going to end with John 13, 1 through 17, real quick. I want to go through this scripture with you because I asked the Father again. I was like, Lord, teach me about this receiving. Show me in the scriptures. Keep showing me. And when I started doing a study on receive, there was over like 250 scriptures on receiving. And I was just like, wow. There must be, the Holy Spirit must be trying to tell us something. Receive, 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 receive. And so I asked them, I said, Father, show me a story in the Bible. And there's tons of them. But to teach me more about receiving from you. And He took me to where Jesus washed the disciples' feet. So I want to read that to you before I end. John 13, verse 1. Jesus knew that the night before Passover would be His last night on earth before leaving this world to return to the Father's side. All throughout His time with His disciples, Jesus had demonstrated a deep and tender love for them, and now He longed to show them the full measure of His love. Did you see that? He longed to show them the full measure of His love. Verse 3. Now Jesus was fully aware that the Father had placed all things under His control, for He had come from God and was about to go back to be with Him. So He got up from the meal, took off His outer robe, took a towel, wrapped it around His waist. Then He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' dirty feet and dry them with His towel. But when Jesus got to Simon Peter, he objected and said, I can't let you wash my dirty feet. You're my Lord. Jesus replied, you don't understand yet the meaning of what I'm doing, but soon it will be clear to you. Peter looked at Jesus and said, you'll never wash my dirty feet. Never. But Peter, if you don't allow me to wash your feet, Jesus responded, then you will not be able to share life with me. So Peter said, Lord, in that case, don't just wash my feet, wash my hands, my head too. Jesus said to him, Peter, you are already clean. I love this. You've been washed completely, and you just need your feet to be cleansed. See, feet represented the condemnation that God on us as we walk through this world. And Jesus was saying to Peter, Peter, you're already righteous. You've put your faith in me. You're already clean. I just need to wash the condemnation off out of your heart. Isn't that beautiful? See, Jesus said in Matthew 20:28, I didn't come to be served. I came to serve you. See, religion teaches us serve God, serve God, serve God. And we understand we want to serve God. I understand that too. But we're so focused on serving, serving, serving. And we're not allowing him to serve us first. That's what he was demonstrating. A servant getting on his hands and knees, washing the dirt off their feet, so that they could see how loved and valuable and righteous they were because of him. Isn't that amazing, that scripture that Jesus said that in Matthew 20:28? I didn't come so that you would serve me. I came to serve you. I came so that you would enter into the celebration of my lavish gift giving, that I made you righteous, that I gave you the gift of approval and acceptance and health and healing and provision. It's all yours, free. You're clean already. I just need to wash the condemnation off of you so that you can reign in this life. And I love how Jesus ends this. He says in verse 12, after washing their feet, he put his robe on and returned to his place at the table. Do you understand what I just said? Jesus said, you've called me your teacher and your Lord, and you're right, for that's who I am. So if I'm your teacher and your Lord, and I've just washed your dirty feet, then you should follow the example that I've set for you and wash one another's dirty feet. Now do for each other what I have just done for you. Verse 17. So now put into practice what I've done for you, and you will experience a life of happiness enriched with untold blessings. Now, Jesus was not teaching us to have foot washing ceremonies. What he was teaching us is, as I have washed the condemnation off of you and reminded you that you're clean already, you're complete already, I want you to go do that for your brothers and sisters in Christ. When you see your brother and sister in Christ feeling condemned or sad or discouraged, wash that condemnation off of them by reminding them that you're clean already, you're righteous already, you're approved already, you're loved already. We receive love and we give love. Jesus serves us and then we serve each other. But we can't skip the most important part, receive. See, if you don't take the time to receive his love, his gift of righteousness, his grace, his approval, his acceptance on a continual basis in your life, you will become burned out trying to serve everybody else. But if you'll take the time and you say, Lord, I know you love me. You love me so much. You made me righteous. All of your promises are yes and amen in my life because of Jesus. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your gift of righteousness. Thank you for making me a wide receiver. If you'll take the time to continue that relationship with Jesus of receiving and receiving and drinking of his love, you'll have so much love to give. You will just be looking for somebody to encourage. You'll be looking for somebody to help. You'll be looking for somebody because you'll be so overflowed with his abounding grace and love that you just want to pour it out on somebody else. And that takes us back to why God created all of us. He's overflowing with love, overflowing with grace, that he just had to have children that he could pour his love into. You are a wide receiver. Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit are the givers. We are the wide receivers. And as we wide receive, we will freely give. Amen? And that's the life that Jesus came to give us. Amen. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, woo, glory to God. Woo, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for the word that came forth today. I thank you for helping us to recognize when condemnation is trying to come on us, that we can come boldly to the throne of grace and receive your love, receive your kiss, mercy's kiss, and be strengthened by your promises to us, Lord. We are wide receivers of your love, and right now I just thank you, Lord. I thank you for loving us so much. I thank you for making us righteous, for seeing us without fault, for qualifying us for all of your promises, Father. We receive today what you say about us because of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Father.